Too bad. Jesus already has told us how to live, and it's up to us. He said, if you love me, do what I tell you. Huh? Praise God. So we got to, and really, the commandments of the Lord are not grievous. Amen. It's really a pleasure to do. It's really a pleasure just to hear his voice. Just a pleasure to hear his voice. I want to run down, rehearse to you, and then we're running out of time here today. Isn't it a beautiful day? Y'all have had this ordered for a while, ain't you? Just got here. I love it. I love this kind of weather. Older I get, seems like that sun somehow limbers your joints up a little. Is that y'all figuring it out? It seems like it does. That old cold, damp, rainy day, creak, crack, pop. I heard Tommy popping up this morning. He was on key, though. Popping right on key, amen. This warm weather will help us. Listen to this. The multitude went up to a mountain. I love this open-air theater that the Lord preached out of, this amphitheater. He went up. He knew how to do it. He went up in the side of a mountain, and you know, kind of people was down in the valley. He went up on the side of the mountain, called his disciples to him, and he opened his mouth, and he started, and he taught them, saying, now, in order for us to learn the things we need to know, we have to be teachable. Huh? We have to be teachable and willing and submissive. And learning is change. You got to be willing to change. There's folks that don't want to change, so they don't learn. But in order to learn, you've got to be willing to look at something and learn something about it, and it changes you. Amen. So we got to be willing. And so he said, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I want you to know, look at the attitude of the Lord, what he wanted us to be. Poor in spirit. That's the opposite of pride. Pride is self-value. Poor in spirit is real, looking inwardly and realizing that we are not what we need to be, that we need help. We need Lord to work on us. And then it says, blessed are they that mourn. And here's the deal, for they shall be comforted. If we mourn over our shortcomings, then we're going to be comforted. God's going to come and help us with our shortcomings. And so then he says, blessed are the meek. Here we got a poor, mournful, meek. Now, meek spirit. And meekness is just being able to take wrongdoing. You know, when the Bible says, if someone smites you on the right, you got to take that in the spirit that it's given. You know, he's not talking about just the mechanics of it, slap on one side, because probably hardly anybody in here is going to get slapped in that way. You know, some already have, but she was in the wrong place at the wrong time, probably. And, of course, my mom swarped me a few times, but that's not the same thing. But if somebody does you wrong, the spirit of the lesson is just tolerate it and take it with a spirit of grace. I heard one man say, well, he said, turn the other cheek, and then what? Well, that's not the spirit of the teaching. But anyway, we're moving on. It says, blessed are they which hunger and thirst. There is a commandment in all of these. There is a requirement. In order to be blessed, you've got to be this. You've got to do this. And then there's a reward. There's a requirement and then a reward. And so how many knows we've got to understand that? And then it says, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You've got to have an appetite. Now here's the scenario, and we're moving on to merciful today. Our lesson is on mercy. Amen. But I want you to notice about this righteousness. You've got to have a hunger and a thirst, and you might have to put yourself in an environment that incites that thirst and hunger. Now, if people have trouble in this world with lust and lascheviousness and cheating and carrying on, now what they need to do, what people need to do, they need to stay away from the environment that incites that type thing. You don't need to sit down and watch a dirty, filthy movie. You don't need to sit down and watch some old nakedness on television. And you say, well, brother, I could watch that all day. It won't bother me. I don't believe that. I don't believe it for a minute. No, you've got to get yourself in an environment that will help you have control over your actions. Yeah. Now, I know God's got to help you. But you've got to do something, too, to make it easier for you. And then you ask God to give you grace. And what that is an appetite for holiness in your life. How many knows you've got to have a hunger for holiness? If you don't want to live right, most people, amen, not most people, but some people, go even to a holiness church that don't have an appetite for holiness. So every time you cross them or say something a little on the edge, they get mad. Boy, that works. Yeah. You know, they get mad. Every time you cross what they're doing, they get mad. Now, if they had a hunger for holiness and holiness was preached, they'd say, oh, boy. It'd be kind of like at home when I was growing up in the summertime I went to meeting yesterday, homecoming meeting, and walked in, and they were cooking in the basement. Now, I am a food expert. I don't know if y'all know that. Not at preparing food, but devouring food, okay? And I'm an expert at it. And I'm telling you, they had it spread out, and it reminded me so much of here. And I walked in, and I said, boy, this smells like a holiness meeting. It generated an appetite. I smelled fried chicken. I mean, I could smell fried chicken. If I had a head cold for 3 weeks, I could still smell fried chicken. They had fried chicken and all that, and them good old wide green beans. And, boy, somebody, Mom, had put the right amount of sugar in them. Hallelujah. Huh? Y'all put sugar in your beans? I like sugar in everything. I wouldn't care to have a little food with my sugar. Is that the way y'all are? Huh? I had an appetite, and I preached. And I preached a lot of homecomings. And, Brady, it's a chore because I'm hungry. I've got an appetite. The crowd has an appetite. And then I don't have enough sense to know. It's kind of like Friday night. The meeting was so tight. And what do? I just keep talking about how tight it is. And the more I talk, the tighter it got. And by then, the poor old preacher had to come out here and carry all that mess. But anyway, I can't hardly help it. And I get to thinking, you gotta whet your appetite for holiness. If you want it, if you hunger for it, and you desire it, the Bible said, you shall be filled. Filled with what? Holiness, righteousness. That's what I want. How many wants that in your life? Now, I'm going on to our great lesson today, and I'm telling you this is wonderful stuff. Listen to what the next one. Blessed are, say it with me. Are you there? Say it with me. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Let's say it once again. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Now, brother and sister, here's one thing about, and here's what I've heard around a holiness church, and this is the way it is in our world. There is very little mercy spread around. Huh? But when I met the Lord, really met him with faith, knowing who he was, do you know why I felt from him right off the bat? I mean, now I know this is the Lord. Amen. I felt mercy from the Lord. How many knows what mercy is? Everybody know what mercy is? Amen. Blessed are the merciful that are full of mercy. Amen. That means, praise God, that if you're in a position to either forgive someone or not, then mercy, amen. You've heard the old saying, amen, justice, amen, knocked. And mercy answered. Amen. How many is glad? I'm glad for justice and righteousness. Amen. And let me put a little clue in right here. When we preach holiness, amen, and I don't know why we have to even say this, because holiness is beautiful and pure and holy. But when we preach a tight, strict way of living, we must do that. And I want to tell you right now, a preacher is not a preacher that does not tell the people the difference in the holy and the profane. You hear me? We can't leave it out there for you to guess. We've got to tell you what the Bible said. But here's the key right here. Jesus was going through the garden or through the field. Really what he was doing was the road, the path led through the field, really, from what I can gather. And his disciples were following him on the Lord's day, and they were hungry. There was a cornfield right along the road, and so them men stopped and just plucked corn. Now, I've never done this. Have y'all ate corn off a cob like that? I've ate corn on the cob, but it's usually been steamed for a little while. But he just pulled that corn off, that sweet corn, and ate that corn in the field. There were some Pharisees, and you know, how many would hate to be called a Pharisee? You know, that's a bad deal. Jesus, when he taught in a way that everybody now really don't want to be called a Pharisee. And here's what they had. You say, well, they didn't keep the Bible. Oh, yeah, they did keep the Bible. They kept it right down to the letter. And they were proud of it. But here's something they had missing. How many knows what they had missing? Say it. What did they miss? Mercy. And that's what Jesus told them. He said, look, you don't understand. He told them, in my words, he said, you don't understand this gospel. For this, and mercy is not overlooking an area of wrongdoing. A lot of people say that they're merciful and they just won't tell people, hey, look, would it be merciful for me to allow my little girl to play in a place where they were copperheads just because she wanted to? And I would say, that wouldn't be merciful to me. It would be merciful for me to tell her in a firm voice, get out of there. It'll hurt you. Huh? What if she said, I don't have to? What would you do then? Would you have mercy then? Yeah, I'd have mercy. And I'd say, you don't? Watch. Huh? And you'd remove her from the danger, and it would be what? It would be mercy. Wouldn't it do it? I understand that. We're not going to just overlook evil doing. But mercy, amen, is the Bible said, blessed are the merciful. And David went on to tell them, and really, that as a pastor of the church and trying to lead people and having a desire for people's hearts. Amen. I want a church that is a holiness church. I want people in the church to love holiness and to love God enough to live right and do what he said. But I also want a people, amen, that has mercy in their heart. Amen. And you know, I found this to be true in my experience, and it's not really a command written down somewhere. But I found a lot of times that people, amen, that are very unmerciful in their spirit have a lot of things that they need forgiven themselves. Now, brother, that's like living with Russian roulette. Amen. Because the Bible said, if you're not merciful, now here's the brunt of it. If you are not merciful, now when you're merciful, amen, and I'm merciful, then when we don't harbor ill will and ill feelings, amen, against people for the rest of our days. You say, how many believes this is holiness? Amen. It's the mercy of the Lord. Now, let me give you a little example here. If you, and you may not even understand this, and I may have told this here before, but years ago, a few years back, I don't remember how long it's been. Some of them may remember, they were having a meeting on the mountain, Brother Harrison there, and Brother Ralph Horton was preaching. I don't know, how long has that been? Y'all remember that? He was preaching. It's been probably, I can about tell you, it's been about four or five years ago. And he was preaching, and I went up there, and I mean, I was battling something. I didn't need to go into it, but brother, I was battling, and I needed to hear from God bad. And I was sitting up there, and I'm preaching on mercy this morning. We're gonna get started in on it, but I wanted to show you where the Lord is. Well, amen. And I'll tie something else in here if I can, and not take too long. But brother, I haven't really dealt with what mercy is. I think everybody in here understands what it is, don't they? But here's the deal. I was sitting up there listening to Brother Ralph preach, and I don't think I've ever told this. But anyway, and I'm going to hurry. But I heard the Lord say to me, amen, that he would speak to me if I would go somewhere. And so he told me to go home. And I thought, the first impression, and I'm not saying that God speaks to me in a voice, and I just know his voice, and that, I mean, it's a very rare thing, but God speaks to your heart. And I heard the Lord say, go home, and I'm going to tell you, because I was begging God, show me, God, how you are, and that's what I want to be in the situation I was in, horrible situation. Well, he said, go home. And, Mom, I thought, I hadn't been out to the old home place in probably many years. I can't remember how many it was, but circumstances wasn't there. No one even going into it. But anyway, I felt, I said, go back, go home. Just get up and go home. And no, I want you to go home and I'll speak to you. Well, I made the call the next morning. It's pouring the rain. And I made the call the next morning, and I said, is it okay? It's all right if I come home today? And look, I'll be all right. Come on, you know. And so it poured down rain, and I went back to the old home place. Dad was there, and he thought I lost my marbles, just to be honest with you. Pouring the rain, he said, son, it's raining, you know, because I told him I was wanting to just walk around the place. I couldn't explain to him that God had promised to speak to me if I come up there. I could, you know, hard to explain. Pouring the rain, brother. There's that old farm I was raised on, and I started down the fence road, Mom. I went down toward the Dogwood Corner down on the road, and I walked, and I started looking at all this over, and I started praying, and the tears were flowing, and I was already soaking wet. I said, God, are you going to speak to me? You may not understand then. I went all over that place where I was a boy. I went down in that spring and where the old springs was and where the cows was, where the old barn used to be and the old cherry trees that we used to climb in. Boy, you talk about Dairy Queen. That was better than Dairy Queen. Climb up in them old cherry trees and eat them cherries all day long, where the old garden spot was. And all of that was gone. And I remember things that happened to me. My mom just started running back. And I had a crisis in my life as I grew up. And I remember one time just a horrible crisis that I won't go into. I mean, I was fearful for my very life and existence. And I remember running as a young boy out into the woods, out into the field, and a big old flat rock out there. And I remember spreading myself as a little boy out on that rock and begging God to help me and protect me and keep me from losing my very mind. Just a young boy. And I had thought about all that for a while. But I started going through that, and as I went through that, my mind was just a whizzing. And I thought, Lord, you're going to speak to me here. And you know, I went through all that, and God showed me and brought all my memory back to me. And as I was walking through that field, all them acres and up and down them hills, hollered, and I went by that old flat rock, amen, where the crisis in my life, amen, and God had came to me there, amen, just as an old boy, not even saved, amen, and I begged God to have mercy on me, and you know, as I went through all that and was headed back toward the house, now this ain't gonna mean much to you, but brother, God spoke to my heart, and he just quoted me a verse, the mercy of the Lord endureth forever, amen, do you hear what I'm saying, the mercy of the Lord, and I know you can't relate to that, right now. Amen. But brother, I knew that was what God has spoke with me, a portion of a verse, and let me know that he had had mercy on me all of my life, and that he was having mercy on me even right then. And that's how he wanted me to be. He wanted me to have mercy, amen, on those that had offended me. Are you listening to me? You ain't buying this, are you? That's all right. It's still true anyway. Amen. I want to tell you, that's how God wants Keene Mountain Church to be. Amen. Not overlooking, tolerating evil doing. Amen. But when you're in a position, and some of you are there right now, amen, nothing really serious has happened to some of you, but your spirit, amen, is just so hard and so unforgiving, amen, that all you can think about is getting even, amen, or letting others know how wicked or bad this person has done you. Are you listening to me? Amen. But listen, God said, blessed, happy, amen, is the merciful. Hallelujah. Have mercy. Have mercy. Have mercy. Oh, y'all ain't getting this. It ain't your fault. I'm just not the preacher that I ought to be. Amen. But listen, you want to be happy? I'm telling you something that'll help us right here. Amen. We need to be a holiness people that has mercy. Come on. If we're not, amen, then we're not a holiness people. Praise God. Amen. The Bible said when we stand to pray, that when we pray, we ought to pray, Father, forgive those that have trespassed against us. Because God told us, if we did not forgive those that had offended us. I remember a preacher's wife stood up years ago talking about somebody had pastored a church and somebody done them wrong, you know. That'll happen when you deal with enough people. I mean, y'all are a sweet audience here, and I appreciate your kind treatment toward me. But there's times in churches people get bad treatment. And this woman got up and said, and she got to testify. And she's right in a sense she was right. But she got up and said, you know, that somebody had done her wrong, and she still didn't have no confidence in them. And somebody said, you're going to have to forgive them. And she said, but they haven't repented. And that's true in a sense. If they're going, see, if they're going to get forgiveness and get right, they're going to have to ask forgiveness. From who? From God. I mean, if they don't ask forgiveness, they're going to be lost. But you see, we've got to forgive whether they ask or not. Now, what? No, is that going to save them? No, it won't save them, but it might save you. Y'all ain't getting this, are you? Is this too deep or too shallow? Huh? It's pretty simple, isn't it? This old Sermon on the Mount. I like this mountain preaching, don't you? Amen. It's pretty simple. Blessed are the merciful. Amen. We're always on edge. Amen. People getting shot today with road rage. I mean, just be driving down the road and cut off in front of somebody. It scares me. I'm on the road a lot, and I don't drive too good either. I can just imagine going through some city, amen, and cutting somebody off accidentally, wouldn't do it on purpose, and then them pulling up and I just started and shooting me right out of the car. Amen. You say that wouldn't happen while people shoot people over all the holly nothing. Amen. They just get mad and they don't want to give no mercy. They don't want to back off any. They don't want to forgive anything. They want to harbor and hold it. Ah! Pardon the screaming nerve. I get excited sometimes. I know that's not maybe orthodox, but it just comes on me sometimes. I just want to squall out at you, praise God, and tell you, amen, you can come to church if you don't forgive. I'll tell you when they ask me to forgive. I mean, I remember one time, and I've told this before, and I'm the only one I know. I use example every now and then. I sure don't think I'm no great big deal. I just want you to know that right now. Amen, I struggle with it. I had a call this week on the road, and a man called me. I don't really know the man. I just preached there one time, and he called me. He was crying and hurting, and I don't need to go into all that was wrong. But brother, he'd been done bad wrong, and I told him. I said, brother, God, and he said somebody done him so wrong, brother Charlie, that he said, well, it was his wife. I'll just tell you, I'll let you know how close it was. She left him and was doing a bad deal against him, and he went on and. He said she's so bad, and said what about somebody that has backslid? And don't the Bible say that demons would come back seven times worse? And I said, it does. And anybody ever experienced anybody that you know that happened to? I'm going to tell you, there's something to that. Amen. There really is. I've seen people that I knew before they got saved, and then I knew them after they backslid. And brother, I know a bunch of people, they're a lot worse than they were before they ever got saved. And he said this. Oh, it's like a priest to you today. You need to get this message. It's a wonderful message right here. And he said, how can somebody like that? And I knew where he was coming from. Amen. But I done prayed this through. And I know what I was going to say before he got done. He said, how can they ever be saved again? And he quoted me the verse from Hebrews that says, he that willfully sin after he come to the knowledge of the truth, they remain no more sacrifice for sin. But that absolutely does not mean, amen, that if you backslide, you can't never be saved again. That's not what it means. I've done studied it out. Amen. It was talking about apostasy. And amen. And if they leave the salvation through Jesus Christ, you can't be saved no other way than Jesus Christ. There's only one sacrifice where you can be saved. Now take that, amen, and just believe that if you want to. If you don't, just be peaceful with him. And I told him it's his deal to pray that out himself. Amen. But here's what I told him, and I felt like the Lord told me to tell him. He said, look at the scars, amen, in their life. They never be the same again. And he went on that. And I said, brother, listen. I said, I love you, and I'm not trying to rebuke you over this, amen. But I said, you're leaving out one factor that you cannot leave out. Hallelujah. And he said, well, what's that? I said, his name is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Y'all don't believe that at all, do you? Come on, help me preach a little bit. Amen. You say, you mean Jesus? Oh, yeah. And I told him about Legion. Amen. Who was naked, dwelling in the tomb. Amen. It had a legion of demons in him. Amen. And the Bible said he was sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Will somebody say amen? You think it can't be done? I said, all things are possible. Amen. Through the Son of God. I'll tell you what God showed this preacher. Amen. He said, when I went to him in prayer and I asked him, in a sense, which lightning bolt are you going to get my enemy with? Amen. Come on now. And the Lord said, look, amen, find the mercy of the Lord endureth forever. Hallelujah. Now, you may not see that, but when I saw God like that, it made me love him more than I ever loved him. Hallelujah. He let me go back in time, and he let me see, amen, how wicked I was, and how I'd done some of the same things that these individuals were doing. And he said, I saved you. I don't love you no more than I love them. I wish somebody would say amen. I said, our God is a merciful, long-suffering, gentle God. Boy, I'm loving this. And Brother Mac, when you take your enemy into the presence of the Lord, and you're wanting God to side with you and say, you're right, they're low-down, dirty rats. Back off, son, I'll get them for you. Y'all ain't even believing it. Y'all say, you bring it out. You know you would too. But then when God shows you him nail prints in his hand and that side, and he shows you how much mercy he had, I just had to stand back, Brother Jim, and say, what an awesome God. What an awesome God. He's a merciful God. And he said, because I'm merciful, I want you to be merciful. And I believe it'll work too, don't you? And so, I couldn't tell this man what to do, brother. That's a bad situation. But I could tell him that not to worry about whether or not God could save that woman. Because God could do it. And he could make her whiter than the driven snow. And the scars, amen, that she might have. And I got one right here on my hand. I was grilling, and I burnt myself. And I just let her go. We got some nurses work here, and they seen it. And they said, you're going to have to do something, or you're going to have a problem. And I'm about to get a scar, but a scar is better than a wound. Because scar ain't infected and putrefying and give you blood poison. I'd rather have a scar as an open wound, wouldn't you? If I have to go to heaven scarred, amen, ain't no better than my Savior. Huh? And you say, well, how in the world, look, if we've got the attitude that, praise God, but you know what really generates our attitude about this getting saved business? As long as that individual that's sinning ain't sinning against us. But when they start sinning against us, it's blasphemy. I ain't trying to jump on you now. I'm just telling you the way it is. And it ain't easy. I ain't telling you it's easy. It's hard. It's hard. I remember one time a man was pouting at me a little. He got mad at me over something. So I said, well, I can nip that in the bud. I always felt like you just nip it in the bud real quick, you know, just go up there and throw your arms around him, kiss him right between the eyes. Huh? So I started up there, and I done had my little speech planned up. I said, Lord, I'm going to go up there and say, you know, if I've offended you, I want you to forgive me. I got about halfway up there, and the Lord said, that won't work. Don't go up there and say, if I offended you. He said, it's pretty obvious you have. And boy, I slowed down then. I was just zipping up through there, and I slowed down. I said, now, what was that, Lord? And so when I finally got to him, it wasn't that big old Doberman pincher coming up the yard. It was a little old whip pup coming up through the yard. And instead of saying, if I've done anything to offend you, Brother Zane, I've done changed my speech. I said what the Lord said to me, brother, it's pretty obvious that I've offended you. I want you to forgive me. Now, he didn't want to, but I got that off of my heart. Huh? Some of you husbands here, don't come off with a dozen roses and say, if I've done, my Lord, she could write a book. Sears catalog of stuff. Just go up there and say, I know I'm a heel. Huh? Just forgive me, will you? I'll try to do better. Right? That's the way you get saved. You don't come up here and say, well, God, you know, they kept pulling at me to come up here. I don't know. Maybe I have hurt your feelings somewhere. Oh, come on. That ain't the way you get saved, is it? You say, Lord, it's pretty obvious. I've sinned against you. Please forgive me. And you know what he'll do? Do you know what he will do? He'll forgive you in a minute. Y'all believe that? Now, I know that people get in shape where they never will be saved. Not that they could not be, but they won't be. Now, the Lord said, you know, if someone blasphemed the Holy Ghost, you know, there's a lot of people take that scripture and let it play with their mind. But, you know, really, if someone blasphemes the Holy Ghost, they're not going to care whether God will save them or not. So if you care about that, then you ain't blaspheming the Holy Ghost. Huh? See, that Holy Ghost is the one that deals and pulls and moves. You push him off and disregard him, then you're going to be lost. But if you'll let the Spirit deal with you, I'm going to tell you, I want you to know this, church, before I leave it. I took too long. Please have mercy on me. Now, if we were all perfect, I tell my daughter sometimes, she's Amanda, she was going and something haywire went on. She was talking about how unusual people do sometimes. And I said, honey, I said, you know, me and you, the only normal ones in this whole place. And I said, I've been suspecting you lately. Now, if we were all perfect, we ain't. There'd never be a chance for forgiveness or mercy and all, but we're not. We're in this together, and we've got to have mercy. And the reason, not just for their sake, but for our sake. You say, well, that's what he said. If you'll show mercy, huh? I'm telling on me today. We'll tell on you next Sunday. Don't lay out. But I was going down the road one time. I mean, it's been years ago. Don't try to wonder about stuff. I've been preaching for 31 years. It could be a lot. It could be anywhere. I don't slip up and call their name. I've done that before. Me and this preacher was driving down the road, and we were called to a meeting. That we'd been asked to try to sort out this church problem. Oh, Lord. And I was talking to this preacher, and we was kind of comparing our thoughts to each other, how we was going to handle this. Really, we was just basically going to be a referee, you know. And so I took this position. You know, didn't know all the story. We was going to get the facts, and then we were going to try to make a, it was a situation, there was no, you know, we'd been asked by this pastor to help. And so I took his position that, you know, in thinking with his preachers, we was going down the road, I took this position, you know, that it was handled this, that, and I won't go into it. Well, I shared my feelings with this preacher, and he said something, eat me alive. He said, brother, and this was so good. I love this guy for this because it saved me a lot of trouble. He said, brother, and this is all he said, let's not be too hard on him in this situation. That's all he said. You say, well, I mean, I guess what it seemed like I was taking, and now I was right, brother. I'm going to admit, I was right. You ever hear the term dead right? You say you wasn't right. I was right. But he helped me, Brother Zane. He said, And here was the way he was coming from. He had been in that guy's shoes before. And since that day, that's been years and years and years ago, I've been in that guy's shoes. And I'm so glad that I didn't go in that meeting with that hard position. Because I would have had to eat crow. You ever see a preacher with black feathers hanging out at the corners of his mouth? It ain't a pretty sight. But you know, and I'm about done. But even though, you know, people sometimes think they have a right when they have a marriage and they get crossways with each other. They just, you know, and Jesus, when they asked Jesus about it, is it all right to put away your wife for everything? You know, in that day, they were putting away their, for whatever. If they didn't like their cooking, or, you know. And Jesus said, no. And he said, but Moses led us. That's what they said. Moses led us. And he said, do you know why Moses led you? Because of the hardness of your heart. Well, I don't want to be hard-hearted, do you? No. Because, brother, I'm going to need the mercy of the Lord if I get through this. If I get across that span and cross that old cold Jordan River and land on that other side, it'll be because of the mercy of the Lord. And if I don't show mercy, then you know the rest of the story. Let's stand.